Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
I am passionate about the power of God. Very passionate about the power of God. Not because I am power drunk, but because I've understood that demons are dealt with only by power. Your life will count by power. And God is glorified by power. This is why after Jesus discipled the people who followed him for more than 3 years, he knew they needed wisdom. He knew they needed favor. He knew all of these packages are very important. But before he left them, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. Because the place of power in the things God provides his children is prime. Nothing outdo power in God's cadre of relevance. If you have no power, you'll be a slave. If you have no power, you can't fulfill purpose. If you have no power, your life cannot even glorify God. You will have desire and passion to glorify God, but at the end of the day, you will still discover you will not glorify God. You'll be defeated while you are yet struggling, attempting to do the right thing. And so it's important for every believer to know how to handle power and to exercise power. Because it is in our handling and exercise of power that relevance is attached to our existence. If you have no power, you will just be one among the many things that happened in life, but there will be no relevance traced to you. And so the subject of power is not one that can be undermined. And so I began teaching you last week. I told you, within the corridor of power are many insurance systems that God makes available to us. I mentioned faith as an insurance system. I mentioned eternal life as an insurance system. I mentioned righteousness as an insurance system. I mentioned the blood of Jesus as an insurance system. Because God had to litter most of these things because of the many adversities and adversaries that we will face in life. He said, many are the adversities of the righteous. He said, but the Lord delivered him from them all. There are many battles that we contend with the manifestation and the expression of your destiny. This is why you need power. And in a summary, I told us that eternal life is actually the life of the age that is to come. And so the reason God gave us that life was because he wanted to empower us to live in this present world like creatures of another dispensation. On the strength of that, we automatically are exalted in class. And so nothing in this world is equivalent to us, because we are living from an economy that surpasses this aeon that we are living in. We are actually in this world, but we are not of this world. Our nativity is heaven. Our nativity is the world that is to come. And so on the strength of eternal life, we have the capacity to demonstrate what would happen or currently happening in that world. And so when you find a Christian, the ecosystem of a Christian is supposed to mirror heaven, because he has the life of the creatures that are now in heaven. on the strength of that, eternal life becomes an insurance system because it exalts your class. I told us also that faith is an insurance system. Why is faith an insurance system? Because faith, the Bible said, is the ability of God to bring into existence that which is not. It said, through faith we understand that the earth was framed by the word of God, that the things which are were not made out of the things which do appear. And so faith is a technology of the spirit that helps you to bring to manifestation things that are in the spirit. And so anything in the spirit can become physical, but the only way that happens is because of faith. And so somebody may be sick in the physical, but health is in the spirit. And so you can bring health and superimpose it over sickness. So on the strength of faith, we become spiritual engineers that have the ability to reconstruct heaven on earth. And that's why I told us that the journey of faith is twofold. The first dimension of faith is the Abrahamic order of faith, because he was the one who discovered faith. And I said that kind of faith is the ability to believe in God for God to intervene. But God does not want to keep intervening, because nobody wants to do that. Even my son who is small there, everything he needs now, I will need to intervene for him to have it. But when he's 30 years and he's calling me to intervene, I will ask him, what is wrong with you? If he needs food now, I will intervene. If he needs clothes now, I will intervene. But if he's 30 and he calls me and says, Father, I need food, I will tell him, go and look for. Because there is something I would have given him that at that level of maturity, I expect him to be able to provide food for himself. So when we grow from trusting in God, even though that is retained, we migrate to a point where faith is no longer just trusting in God. Yes, it includes trusting in God, but over and above trusting in God, faith becomes an awareness that there is something divine on your inside. And on the strength of that divine thing, you can create things and bring answer to a world that needs answer. That's why Jesus was teaching faith in Mark chapter 11 from verse 22. He said, have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith does not necessarily trust in God, although trusting in God is included. But the God kind of faith is that when you are confronted with a mountain, you don't talk to God, you talk to the mountain. So when a mountain confronts you, if you have the Abrahamic faith, you will tell God, Father, intervene in this matter. God can intervene, but God is taking you to a place higher. And so when you migrate from that level of calling on God to intervene, you'll come to a level where Christ operated. And when you see a mountain, you say, mountain, in the name of Jesus, get out. Without talking to God, the mountain will obey, because the mountain has the intelligence that there's something divine on your inside. Faith, therefore, becomes your awareness of that divine thing that is on your inside. This is not trusting in your natural ability. This is trusting in the ability of God that is on your inside. And so, therefore, at this level of faith, you begin to take responsibility of consecration. I told you, I said, when you are young, your manifestation will reflect the intervention of God. But when you mature, your manifestation will begin to reflect your consecration. Because when you are a child, you call on God to intervene. When you mature, because of the power that is at work on your inside, you work on that power and that power produces result. So there's a level where you need God to show up for the mountain to move. But there's another level where a power in you has energized. And so when you meet that mountain, even though you are not calling on God, the mountain will move. At the end of the day, God will still take the glory. Why? Because in both cases, is God still at work. But in one case, God is working for you. In another case, God is working through you. And so faith begins from trusting God to using the resources of God to getting answers. And so faith also is an insurance system. That's why the Bible said, taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to shut down every arrow, every attack of the devil. And so when God gave us faith, he gave us an insurance system. The blood of Jesus is also an insurance system, because documented in the blood of Jesus is the totality of the price that was paid for your redemption. And so when you show up with the blood, the devil knows. It's like a, how do you call it now? A court order. When you bring a court order, even the president can't stop it. When you bring a court order, you must change it from the court. If you have a court order, only the court can overrule it. That's how the blood works. And so when you present the blood, no matter who you are confronting,
be it the devil or the totality of the devils, they have nothing to do, because they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. The blood have stated that you are forgiven. The blood have stated that you are redeemed. The blood have stated that you are no longer a slave. The blood have stated that you are in Christ. So every time the blood shows up, your redemption is sure. And so the blood is an insurance system. And there are many insurance systems like that. But for now, we said there is a basic insurance system that God gives to everyone that believes. And I said that insurance system is the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, the Bible said, is a strong power. It said the righteous runneth therein and they are saved. The Bible said the name of Jesus is the seal of God's authority. The question is, why do we have many believers still going through crisis and problem in their lives? It's because they lack understanding. D.L. Moody was teaching somewhere in England and he had a 5 days meeting. The first day he came, taught salvation. The second day he came again, taught salvation. On the third day, a lawyer met him and said, wait, hope it's not salvation you are teaching. He said, no, it's salvation I'm teaching. He said, why are you teaching salvation every day? He said, because from the first day I taught it, you have not been saved. So Christians have a lot of information in their head, but they are not applying anyone. And so the subject tonight will be taught again and again and again, until somebody comes to me randomly and say, I use the name of Jesus and demons left. Until somebody comes to me and say, I use the name of Jesus and the sick was healed. Because it's not about I heard it. It's about I have caught it and now I can put it to work. Are you following? So the name of Jesus is an insurance system in the kingdom. But there are 5 things you need to know about the name of Jesus for it to work. The first is the wealth that is attributed to that name. If you don't know the wealth in the name of Jesus, you will not exercise it with audacity. Because there are many who are calling the name of Jesus, but they are calling it in fear. Their leg hit something. Jesus, 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 Jesus. They think it's by calling many times. And some even call it very loud. Jesus! It's not how loud. It is the revelation that sponsors it, that gives it efficacy. And so if you have the right revelation of the riches in the name, sometimes you don't even need to call it. Because he didn't say at the mention of the name. He said at the name. At the name means you are coming with the consciousness. At the name means you are coming with the awareness. Did you read what the Bible said? In Galatians chapter 3, I think verse 27. It said they that are united with Christ, they have put on the name of Jesus. And so there are those who call it. There are those who wear it. That's why you find some people, they approach a demon possessed and the demon begins to scream. They don't need to say in the name of Jesus. When they show up at the name. They are wearing that name because the name has become their consciousness. And so even without talking, demons know. Because demons know those who know. Peter was going to the place of prayer and he found a man impotent in his feet, and the man asked every other person who entered the temple, because that's what he does. When he came to Peter and John, they showed up and Peter walked, and the man asked them for alms, and Peter said, look on us, and the man looked on them, and Peter now went further to speak. He said, silver and gold have I none. He said, look on us. But when he wanted to administer the name, he doesn't know the position of John, because this is a personal revelation. It didn't say silver and gold have we none. It says silver and gold have I none. It said, but such as I have. He knew there is wealth in the name of Jesus. He knew that you could compare the name of Jesus with silver and gold. What do you know about the name of Jesus? Somebody is asking you for money. You say, I don't have money. But in the name of Jesus. Oh God, when did the name of Jesus become an exchange? The name of Jesus is actually an exchange. And it is worth more than every other legal tender. If you know the name of Jesus, somebody may be looking for house rent. And you say, I don't have naira. But in the name of Jesus. If you know the name of Jesus, somebody may be demonized. And you say, I have no money. But in the name of Jesus. If you know the name of Jesus, somebody may tell you, they just sacked me from job. And you will say, I have no company. But in the name of Jesus. Did you hear the testimony of the brother? He was working with the British High Commission. They sacked him, canceled his contract. He came to me, I have nobody to call. If I had somebody to call at the High Commission, I would have said, wait, let me give somebody a call. And I would have called the person and tell him on Monday, go and meet so person. That is asset. But you see, there is something superior to somebody who knows somebody. And because I didn't know anybody in the British High Commission, I had to connect to the one I know in heaven. And so I said, in the name of Jesus, you are empowered. In less than 1 week, the same commission gave him a contract again. And many other contracts began to come. Why? There's wealth in the name of Jesus. You are the one who taught it is a nomenclature. God doesn't need a name for him to be invited. You are the one who taught the name of Jesus is for identification. God doesn't need introduction. If you read the Bible, he was never introduced. He said in the beginning, God, it is your duty to know him. He is too big to introduce himself to you. You find him. So you don't introduce God. God is self-introduced. Because all things were made by him. And without him was there nothing made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. So every man in this world knows something about God. And so you don't need the name of Jesus to introduce God. When you are invoking the name of Jesus, you are activating the wealth of heaven. When you are invoking the name of Jesus, you are activating the wealth that is locked up in divinity. It's beyond introduction. It's beyond a nomenclature. It's a key to possibilities. Christians are not aware. They got the name in church and so people picked it up. Some people now don't even call Jesus. They call Yeshua. Whether you call it in Hebrew or Greek, it doesn't matter. What is the revelation you have behind it? It's not about religion. You see people come up and they say Yeshua. Yeshua. Some even call it a Christos. Anyone you want to call him is fine. They are all correct. But what makes it work is not the language in which you call it. It's the revelation behind the call. And so if I call him Yeshua and I have revelation, power will move. If I call him Jesus and I have revelation, power will move. Whatever I call him, if I know the wealth in that name, power will move. We are calling the name, but we don't have the understanding of the riches that is allocated to that name. The greatest wealth of God is locked in his name. You know what Jesus said? In John 17:26, he summarized his ministry into one. He said, I have manifested your name to them. So everything Jesus called ministry was a manifestation of the name of the Father. Because the name of God is actually the custodian of the possibilities of God. That's why in the Old Testament, anytime a man encounters God, he traps it with a name. Because the way you can keep the wealth that is in God is through names. And the name of Jesus is the summary of the totality of everything God has to offer. And that's why when he came as Savior, he had that name. When he became Lord, he had that name. Because that's the wealth of God. He said, I have manifested your name to them. And so when Jesus raised the dead, he was manifesting the name of God. When he fed 5,000, he was manifesting the name of God. When he showed mercy and compassion, he was manifesting the name of God. The name of Jesus is the totality of the wealth of the Godhead. And so every time you say Jesus, you have been given the legal right to access everything and anything that is in God. You can awaken wisdom through the name of Jesus. You can awaken favor through the name of Jesus. You can awaken healing through the name of Jesus. Though the result you have now is not because the name is limited to that result. The result you have now is the extent of your understanding of that name. Some people think the name of Jesus only works with the sick. And so when somebody is sick, they come with boldness and faith in the name of Jesus. They don't know that breakthrough is also tied to the name of Jesus. A man can be chased out of his house. If he needs house rent, it is still the name of Jesus. That's why Galatians 3:17 said, all you do, all, it said, do in the name of the Lord. When next somebody comes to you and says, I have no food to eat, before you support him with money, say in the name of Jesus. Because when you give him money, the money will finish. But when you say in the name of Jesus, you connect him to an endless supply. The name of Jesus is the wealth of God. Because of this teaching, let me just quickly run through 5 of the riches that are in the name of Jesus. I mentioned a few of them last week. Number 1, the name of Jesus is access to the realm of God. If you have the revelation of the name of Jesus, the presence of God becomes natural to you. The presence of God. Because you can't access the presence except as you come in the name. Jesus himself was teaching. And here is what he said. In John 14, verse 13 to 14. He said, whosoever shall ask my Father anything in my name, he said, shall be done unto him. In Matthew, in John 16, 23 and 24, he said, until now you have asked for nothing. He said, ask that you might receive, that your joy may be complete. And so the way you come into God's presence to receive what God has to offer is the name of Jesus. By implication, if you have the name of Jesus, the realm of God is completely open to you. And so the presence of God for you will no longer be a scarce commodity. And if you want to understand the power of the presence of God, you may need to reverse a bit and go back to the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, the Bible said when Moses came out of Egypt, he didn't come with an economic structure. He didn't come with an army. The only thing Moses came out with was the panim of God, the presence of God. And the Bible said with the presence of God, they didn't lack nothing. When they needed food to eat, manna showed up. When they needed meat, quails came. The shoes they wore, the Bible said the shoe did not grow old. You buy a shoe for your child at the age of 1. Your child is 40, still wearing it. The shoe was growing with them. The clothes they wore, the clothes did not diminish. You wear one cloth for 40 years and the cloth is still in order. Because everywhere they went, the Shekinah was going with them. And as if personal resort was not enough, even national resorts were handled by the presence. The Bible said any city they entered, they licked up the city. They licked it up until their fame became so strong that when they are coming to a city, the king will send missionaries ahead. Please go and tell them, we don't want to have problem with them. Whatever they need, we will give them. They have a highway to pass through our city. What did they carry? They didn't carry an army. They didn't carry an economic structure. They carried the presence of God. You want the presence of God on your ministry? You want the presence of God on your business? You need some revelation of the name of Jesus. It is access to the presence. Many people are dry of the presence. That's why things are not working in their lives. When the presence of God comes, it is God's way of answering without talking. There is an intelligence about the presence of God that meets your needs even without God talking. Because everything God has is domiciled within the context of his presence. And when a man carries God's presence, he literally becomes like a God. When I read the Old Testament, sometimes I feel like weeping. How can you carry 5 million people and face the wilderness? What about housing program? What about feeding program? How about health program? What will happen to these people? He carried something. He said when they left, he said the glory of God went with them. As a pillar of fire by night and as a pillar of cloud by day. When they needed heat because of the cold in the wilderness, the fire gave them warmth. And the fire was also direction. When the sun became too strong in the wilderness, the presence that came in form of a visible glory overshadowed them. And they didn't know what sun looked like. And 5 million people were kept for 40 years without having any lack because of the riches of the presence. And the Bible said there was none feeble among their tribe. there was none feeble amongst their tribe. No one needed anything because the presence of God dwelt there. Could it be that it's the absence of the presence of God that has made us vulnerable? That has made it look as if the devil is in control. But in the name of Jesus, there is access. In the name of Jesus, the door is open. In the name of Jesus, the presence becomes your inheritance. And so you have no reason why you should lack the presence of God. And if in the Old Testament they had the presence of God and food was not a problem, food cannot be a problem to you. If in the Old Testament they carried the presence of God and health was not a challenge, health cannot be a challenge with you. If they carried the presence of God and what they needed for their everyday life was not a need, then you don't need to pray too much about your need. Under the presence of God, everything you require is there in abundance. But the key to the presence is the name of Jesus. He said, at the name, the Father's doors are open. The Father's bosom is open. The Father's realm is open. Too many people have no revelation of the name of Jesus. Did you see what the psalmist said? He didn't say, I am preserved because I'm a king. He didn't say, I am preserved because I'm a warrior. If you study the life of David, you will discover that David had 7 anointings working on his life. David was a poet. David was a warrior. David was a writer. David was a king. David was a psalmist. David was also called father. And David was a shepherd. One man operating by 7 dimensions of the anointing. But what was David's strength? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. David even went further to tell us, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Not because I'm a skilled fighter. He said, because thou art with me. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they protect me. And he said, even if I'm in the midst of my enemies have lost the ability to hurt me. He said, in the presence of my enemies, my cup runneth over. And you'll find Christians today, all my enemies must die. All my enemies must perish. If they perish, which one of them will repent? If they perish, which one will testify that God is good? There are some of your enemies that will go nowhere. They will be present when you are coronated. Because they will be part of those who will say, truly, the God of this man is God indeed. But all of that is possible because of the presence. The presence of God is a wealth that is credited to the name of Jesus. The reason the name of Jesus is very potent is because the name of Jesus creates access into God's presence. The second wealth about the name of Jesus is that it's the key for signs and wonders. Mark 16:17. In my name cast out devils. It said these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. But your faith is impotent without the name. I know you believe. I know you have faith. But what will let your faith loose is when you come in my name. If not, your believing will be in vain. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name. So the key to activating the sign is not necessarily your faith. But it is the opening that comes by the name of Jesus. And that's why when the apostles were praying in Acts chapter 4 verse 30, they said that you may stretch forth thy hands and that signs and wonders might be done in the name of thy holy child. The disciples knew this. And so everything they did started and ended with the name of Jesus. Acts 4:18, the Bible said they preached the name of Jesus. Everything they did was in the name of Jesus, because they know if you want to live the supernatural life, your revelation of the name of Jesus must keep towering every day. Please, I beg you, that name is not a religious name. Don't make it one. That name is a key to wonders. That name is a key to signs. And so when you want to call that name, there must be the consciousness of signs and wonders. The third thing about the name of Jesus is that it makes you invincible in the demonic realm. He said, in my name, cast out devils. Demons have messed the lives of people for too long. You gather 10 Christians, 6 to 7 of them are having one affliction from demons. The question is, are demons that powerful? They are not powerful. We are ignorant.
We are ignorant. Demons are not as powerful as they appear. It is the ignorance of Christians that empower demons. He said, if you call my name, every demon is already aware. And so the problem you have is that your faith is not in the name of Jesus. Your faith is in your fasting. Your faith is in your prayer. Your faith is in your giving. Your faith is in your association with a man of God. But you see, when you approach a demon, the only thing that scares the demon is the name of Jesus. Did you not read? Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. The devil showed up and said, are you the Son of God? If you are the one, turn these stones to bread. When Jesus is fasting, trust me, power is available. If Jesus is fasting, power is available. If Jesus prays for 40 days and 40 nights, my brother, there's power there. And I'm telling you, prayer and fasting will always be needed, because that's what energizes the power that is in you. But that power can be so energized but never find expression. Because after you have fasted, after you have prayed, after you have meditated, the trigger is the name of Jesus. It's like carrying a loaded gun and you stand and they kill you. The fasting, the prayer has energized your spirit, but you never use the trigger. The trigger is the name of Jesus. The moment you say, in the name of Jesus, every power in your spirit is let loose. But the power will remain locked up there until you know what the name of Jesus is. The name of Jesus is the activator of the dimensions of God that are locked in you. And one of the areas where that dimension manifests is in absolute dominion over demons. Demons should be the basis of our manifestation. I'm telling you. But today, if somebody is demonized because the man of God is afraid, they say, take him out. Do they cast demons out at their back? Casting out devil is not an exercise done outside the auditorium. It is two kingdoms at war. In fact, the proof that your message is accurate is that when a demon begins to react, you deal with it there. Jesus never took any demon outside. The Bible said he entered the temple. The demons began to cry, you are the Son of God. Why have you come? Get out! He saw the man at the tomb. The demons began to cry, get out! There has never been a time where a man who carries God should be afraid of dealing with demons. If you meet them in the service, deal with them. If you meet them on the road, deal with them. If you meet them in the market, deal with them. But if you don't have the revelation of the name of Jesus, demons will mess you up. Because every time demons show up, they are trying to make a statement that their kingdom is superior to yours. And it is your duty to publicly and openly manifest to the sight of everyone that the kingdom of God is supreme. It is your duty to manifest in the sight of everyone that Jesus has won the battle. And the proof that Jesus has won the battle is that demons no longer have dominion around our sphere. But the power to deal with those demons, it's in the name of Jesus. The fourth thing about the name of Jesus is that the totality of God's authority is invested in that name. The authority is not just against demons. The authority is against every knee. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 9, it said, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Listen, demons are not the most wicked entities you meet. Some of the knees that need to bow are your bosses that are unjustly tormenting you. If you think the name of Jesus is all about demons, you are in trouble. Some of the people you need to use the name of Jesus against are wicked bosses that are unjustly trying to rob you of what belongs to you. And so when the legalities are clear, you rise up and you raise your case before God. I have played my part. This is my just recompense. But this man, out of wickedness, have decided to frustrate me. And so in the name of Jesus, I command this knee to bow. Some of the knees that need to bow to you are negative forces in nature. There are many forces in nature that are out to sabotage the possibility of your destiny. The day you go to plant your rice, that's the day rain wants to start falling. Meanwhile, if this rain falls, it will wash off the whole rice and your whole investment will be gone. You need to understand that at the name of Jesus, even nature will bow. This thing is not just about demon. The totality of God's authority is credited to the name of Jesus. And that's why the Bible said in Colossians 2:9, it said, it pleased the Father that the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in him bodily. And so when you say in the name of Jesus, you are wielding the authority of the Godhead. And there is no authority that is beyond that realm. Christians don't know what God has given us. And sometimes it's because these things were given too cheaply. That's why many people play with their salvation. Because they were not the ones who died on the cross. If they tell you to carry a wooden cross and walk naked around the city, you may begin to appreciate your salvation. And this is why in the 13th century and 14th century, they introduced the doctrine of penance. Because salvation became too simple to people. When they tell them, just believe and confess, they trivialize it. And so what they did, you know, the wisdom of man sometimes can be dangerous. They tell people that if you truly want to keep your salvation, if you sin, you need to walk on your knees for 1 mile. And so when people started walking, moving on their knee under the sun for 1 mile, they now understood the treasure that salvation is. Because sometimes we undermine things because we receive them too cheap. If they told you, you needed to fast for 1,000 days without food, but only taking water before you can use the name of Jesus, you would have seen how agitated Christians would have been. And those who are able to pass the level of excitement, the name of Jesus would have become a treasure. So somebody would have said, today I'm on the 900th day. Very soon I'll have the privilege of using the name of Jesus. Somebody will say, I'm just on 200 days. Oh Lord, help me, help me. And then the few people who will reach 1,000 days, in fact, they will have a badge. Those who are qualified to use the name of Jesus. And so if anything happens, they will invite them and they will show up and say, yes, we are the few people among the human race that have the right to use the name of Jesus. And so in the name of Jesus, that's how men think. That's why Paul told the church in Corinth not to take the simplicity of the gospel for granted, lest the way the serpent beguiled Eve, he will beguile them and they will drift away because the gospel is simple. It is simple, but it is not cheap. It took God to become man. It took God to endure shame and death for you to qualify to use that name. It was after the resurrection that the name of Jesus became available to everyone that believed. He said, go and tell Peter, I'm going to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. So the day we received that right was when Jesus perfected the sacrifice and requirement of salvation. And so every time you carry that name, carry it with a consciousness. A consciousness that a price that no other person is able to pay, paid. And on the strength of that price, you were qualified by the mercy of God to begin to use that name, which is representative of the authority of the Godhead. This is why Jesus was speaking and he said, the Father has committed all judgment to me. And so when he gave us the name, he also gave us the right to execute judgment. Do you know what Jesus told the disciples? He said, whoever sins you forgive is forgiven. If you meet a Pharisee, he will give you 1,000 scripture why men cannot forgive sins. In fact, when Jesus looked at the man in Mark chapter 2, who was bedridden, and said, son, your sins are forgiven. They said, why does this man blaspheme? Only God forgives sin. And Jesus heard their thought and said, why do you think like this? And Jesus told them, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or carry your bed and walk? And he said to the man, rise up, take your bed and walk. When he gave us the right to use the name of Jesus, which became the basis for casting out devils and healing the sick, he gave us the right to every judgment. And that's why he told the disciples, whomever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Do you know that if a brother sins and he comes to you crying, you can tell him your sins are forgiven you? If you know the authority you have in the name of Jesus. The apostles were given the right to forgive sin. And everyone who believes in Jesus, who is named with the name of the Lord, has the right to forgive sins. He has the right to heal the sick. He has the right to raise the dead. He has the right to command nature. Because the totality of the judgments of God are credited to Christ. And when Christ gave us his name, he gave us the right to execute judgment. Christianity needs to be redefined. We don't know who Christians are. We don't know who Christians are. If you walk somewhere today and you tell somebody, I forgive you, you know what the world will be thinking? Maybe he offended you.
They will think, no, maybe you offended him, so they are making amends.
Jesus said, whomever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. You are my representative. The same way I would have forgiven them, in case they meet you before meeting me, you have the authority to express my compassion towards them. See, if we know Christianity, we will become new creatures indeed. But you'll find today, believers want to do another penance afresh in order to receive God's mercy. He said, there's no other sacrifice. The sacrifice is over. The authority has been given. You go and exercise that authority. When you receive the name of Jesus, you receive authority unimaginable. There are many things that the apostles of old believe. If you teach it now, they'll call it blasphemy. And that's why many doctrine, for the sake of peace, the elders stop preaching them. Are you following? Are you learning something? Is your faith being energized? Are you receiving something to go and manifest? As you walk out this week, anything that confronts you, before you think, say in the name of Jesus. If they say your job is about to go, say in the name of Jesus. If they say your life is about to go, say in the name of Jesus. If they say things are about to go wrong, say in the name of Jesus. The moment you say in the name of Jesus, the Godhead stands at alert. Because the name of Jesus is the expression of the authority of the Godhead. And every believer, by mercy, has been called to exercise that level of authority. That's why Christianity is a wonder to a generation. But many Christians don't know who they are. And finally, the name of Jesus is the seal of preservation. He said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. He said, the righteous runneth therein and they are saved. The day this revelation dawned on me, most of my prayers finished. As I'm standing here, those who are close to me, they know. If you like, look at me and tell me you are cursed. I won't pray about it. You can't curse me. He said, there's no enchantment against Jacob. There's no divination against Israel. He didn't say Israel has to break it. No. We who have understanding, we don't break curses. Curses can't attach to us. There's no enchantment. You know why? He said, because the shout of the king is in their midst. What we carry now is not the shout of the king. We are clothed with Christ. So before you touch me, you will touch Christ. He said, whoever is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. If you can curse me, then you will curse the Holy Ghost first. Because me and the Holy Ghost have become a compound spirit. We are one. Revelation is lacking. And that's why authority is diminishing. Me, curse me, you wasted your time. I will never kneel down and ask God, Lord, I break that curse. No enchantment can work with me. If you like, go and meet 10 Babalawo. Let them join their powers together at midnight and put my picture and dance for 2 hours before they curse. When they call my name, it's fire that will appear. Even the devil knows. You can't even call my name in certain quarters. The reason a Christian can talk to me and God will not do anything is mercy. Because that Christian too is anointed. A man who is not a Christian, if you point your fingers at me, it will wither. It will wither. If you point your finger, it will wither. You can't do anything against me. They need to. Did you read what Jesus said? He said, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall by no means hurt you. He said, if you trap upon scorpions and serpents, it shall by no means. He didn't say it will not hurt you. He said, it shall by no means. That means, even if the technology were to be invented particularly for you, there is no software from hell yet that can affect you. There are many things Christians shouldn't pray about. The reason we are praying is because we have no understanding. Some of us, we have known certain things that have intoxicated us. Why do you think we travel from city to city? If we are afraid of curses and demons. Do you know what we do when we go from city to city? We are entering the stronghold of the devil. We are not waiting for the devil to come. We are the ones looking for him. Today I'm in Gombe. They tell me somebody is barren. I say, be healed. Do you know how many demons I'm provoking? They say somebody is demonized. I say, get out. I finished casting that demon in Gombe. Before the demon exercised their anger, I'm in Lagos. From Lagos, I'm in Kano. Sometimes in 1 month, I have dislocated 1,000 demons. If there is something that can affect me, do you think I'll be alive today? Do you know how many demons I have dislocated from their base? I have made many demons homeless.
because I chased them from one city to another, from one locality to another, and there is nothing they can do about it, because I am shielded, too guarded to be a victim. The name of the Lord is a strong power. He said the righteous runneth therein, they are saved. This is the power, the priceless power of revelation. If you pray some prayers, don't pray them loud, because when demons hear, they will know your level of ignorance. Me now, go and start praying. Father, demons are after me. Me, if they hear that I'm coming to a city, they start packing well, because they know this troublemaker has come. If they hear that Apostle Mike is heading towards Kano, they begin to hibernate. God help us, let this man not see us when he comes. Is it me that will hide from the devil? The devil hides when we show up. He hides. Not because we are apostles, but because when we come, the Godhead comes. When we come, the embassy of heaven comes. When we come, the glory of God comes. We carry heaven everywhere we go. Then they tell you, your business is failing. Some demons are here, some demons are there. They have made a mistake. How? Some demons need to be educated about you. Don't you know demons know? If it's Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. They know. Beg some demons to go to the house of some Christians, they will refuse. If they are even on their way coming, they now tell them, is this your best house? Sorry, I'm not going. It's wrong address. Because there is too much power there. There's too much glory there. The devil will advise himself. There are places they don't go to. Devils don't go everywhere. There are places they don't go to. Pray what? Was it not Smith Wigglesworth that told the story? He was in his bedroom. And this one is not a demon that came. He's a prince. Sat on his rocking chair. Do you know that it is illegal in the spirit for a spirit to materialize his form? Every time a spirit materializes his form, he's breaking the laws of dimensions. But there are certain principalities that are so rebellious that they violate those laws. That's why even Satan transforms himself to be an angel of light. And this guy materialized himself, sat on a rocking chair and was disturbing. And when he came down, he said, is it you? I thought it was somebody serious. Get out from here. And he went upstairs. You read it, you say, it's Smith Wigglesworth. It's powerful. He has nothing to do with Smith Wigglesworth. He has everything to do with understanding. With understanding. There's a level of understanding you have. If a witch flies over your house, it will fall. Dr. Paul Enenche went to Zambia. He was preaching in an open air crusade. A witch was flying and made a mistake and passed through the atmosphere. The witch collapsed. Because the man was around. Is that the kind of man of God that will go and sit down and be praying? All these demons are coming. Oh Lord. What? You are there, they come? My God! They are wrongly advised. They are ill advised. Somebody tell yourself, I carry the power of God. Galatians 3:27, he said, they that are born again, he said, they have put on the Lord Jesus. And in Romans 13:14, he said, put on the Lord Christ and make no occasion again for the flesh. Put it on.
Be conscious of it. When you come, the presence of God comes. When you come, the power of God comes. When you come, the judgment of God comes. When you come, the mercy of God comes. Everything Christ represents, we are wearing now. That's why we are the answer the world is looking for. We are wearing now, not in heaven, now. Do you know how God preserved the Israelites? It's the technology of the name. When an Israelite is born, an Israeli is born, you know what the Bible said? It said, name the name of the Lord upon them. That's why you cannot hurt an Israeli. He carries the name of the Lord as an insurance. He said, give this law unto Aaron, your brother. Tell him to say these words to the children of Israel. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you. And he said, let the name of God be named upon them. And so one Israeli can enter a city. You can't hurt them. They are invincible. The name of God is named upon them. And so when we got born again, the first garment that was given to us was the name of Jesus. I am suited with Christ. You can't touch me. You want to touch me, you touch Jesus first before you touch me. This is the foundation of our audacity. But you see, for this to work, you must understand it. That's why I'm showing you. The second thing that makes this reality to work is that you must believe it. Because there are many who hear, but they don't believe. And you know what the Bible said? It said it's the same word that was preached to us, that was preached to them. It said, but it did not profit them because of their unbelief. It's possible to make the word of God of non-effect. The Bible said, you have made the word of God of non-effect by your traditions. They told you that demons are powerful, demons are dangerous, and they mentored you to exhort the devil and diminish what God has done for you. When the gospel of the kingdom comes, it empowers you. And one of the ways it does that is to reveal to you the excellency and the efficacy of what God has given to you. There's no demon anywhere or any circumstance anywhere that can outclass or outdo the name of Jesus. And we are not just calling it, we are wearing it. When next you go out, be conscious. Don't just be conscious of the clothes you are wearing. And why is this important? Because consciousness matters. Most of you who are just sitting casually now, if you are wearing white and white, you will be different. It rained outside, you will go out and just walk to your car. If you are wearing a white shoe, you'll be careful where you march. And so, if you don't believe it, and if you are not conscious of it, it will not work. You will make it of non-effect. And the reason many believers are defeated is either, number one, they don't understand, or number two, because they understand but they don't believe. Or number three, they understand and believe but they are not consistently conscious of what they believe. You want the name of Jesus to work? Understand it. You want the name of Jesus to work? Believe it. Three times in scripture. Romans 10:13, Acts 2:21, Acts 2:32. It said, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is triple emphasis. So it's a witness that is too efficacious, and the excellency of it cannot be undermined in any quarters. They that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so number one, understand it. Number two, believe it. And don't just believe it and keep it in your head. The sign that you believe it is that you are conscious of it and you call upon that name. If you are not conscious of it, and if you don't call upon the name, it means you don't believe it. Be conscious of the name of Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus. It's a sign that you believe it. Most of us are too quick to call on our doctors. We are too quick to call on our relatives that are in positions of power because we are conscious of them. We understand their authority. But, you know, the day this revelation became settled for me, I was following and listening to Pastor Chris. He was sharing on the live television. And Pastor Chris was bragging that they can't do nothing to us. They cannot hurt us. we are too loaded. He said, we bring their forces down. He was talking about this global movement too, that has to do with presidents of different nations, with the strongest connection in the world. He said, we will pull down their forces. We will destroy their arsenals. I was thinking he will say, I have caught some president. I have some connection in the body of Christ. When he finished, do you know what his boast was resting on? In the name of Jesus. I say, what? Wait. You mean all these things you are saying, is it the name of Jesus? It dawned on me that he had a rich revelation of that name that we don't have. That when these men are challenging governments of nations, they are not talking about who they know in another government house. They are using the name of Jesus. You see, somebody wants to go to America. The door is locked. And he says, the door of America must open. They have no choice. And then you are thinking you know somebody at the embassy. You now say, how? He said, in the name of Jesus, I decree America is open. Is that why you are talking like that? There's an understanding. When you believe, you are conscious and you call upon. The third thing you must do to the name of Jesus is that you must exalt that name and praise him. If you don't know the name of Jesus, you will treat it religiously. But if you know it, you will praise it. You will sing it. You will exalt it. Psalm 34 verse 3 said, magnify the Lord always. Exalt his name. When you find people who don't magnify the name of God, it's because they don't know it. If you know the excellency of that name, you cannot but sing it. There should be many songs carrying the name of Jesus. Today we sing many songs without the name, because our revelation of the name is time. Bishop David Oyedepo was warning ministers recently, especially music ministers. He said, be conscious to sing the name of Jesus. Because now we sing many things, sing many mysteries, but not the name. Meanwhile, the greatest mystery in revelation in scripture is the name of Jesus. Check the saints of old. They sang that name, they talked that name, they preached that name. Check our songs in contemporary society today. The name is scarce. Scarce. Because our revelation and honor of that name is low. See, when you wake up, be deliberate about it. Sing that name. Praise that name. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, you say, your name is higher above all the name. Your name is Jesus. Your name is Lord. Your name is higher above the name. Your name is Jesus. Your name is Lord. When you sing it, demons will become aware. They'll say, come, why is this man exalting the name of Jesus? What has he discovered about the name? While they are contemplating, the next thing you go again, at the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. There is power in your name. There is power in your name. Miracles happen in your name. Miracles happen in your name. As we lift the voice in praise. As we lift the voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. When you stop magnifying the name of Jesus, the name begins to hold more meaning to you. And so when you say in the name of Jesus, even you will know that you are activating and invoking something that is heavy. Exalt that name. Praise that name. Magnify that name. And finally, proclaim the name. Don't hide it. Don't be careful. Proclaim the name with audacity. You know why? The power of the Holy Ghost is activated to validate the name of Jesus. He said, when the Holy Ghost comes, he will not speak about himself. One thing the Holy Ghost is jealous over is that glory must be ascribed to Jesus. Praise must be ascribed to Jesus. Honor must be ascribed to Jesus. And so if you want the Holy Ghost to work, proclaim the name of Jesus. The moment you begin to proclaim the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost starts working. Because that's why he came. He came to reveal Christ to a generation. He came to glorify Christ. He came to exalt Christ. He came to honor Christ. The reason most of us don't see the power of God is because we don't proclaim the name of Jesus. We proclaim everything but the name. You want to see the excellency of the name of Jesus? Understand it. Believe it. And believe it by bearing the consciousness. Believe it by calling upon it. And then go further. Praise it. Exalt him through his name. And then go further. Proclaim him by his name. Your life will be so decorated with wonders that sometimes you will be shocked. You will try to investigate whether what you are doing, in fact, the ease with which you are doing it, you will want to be sure if it is real. You will find a cripple, stand up and start walking. You will be checking whether this person was really crippled, because the ease with which things will happen, even you will want to convince yourself again because of the excellency of the name. In the name of Jesus, I decree your life will work. In the name of Jesus, I decree that the possibilities of your life has changed. In the name of Jesus, I decree your battles are over. In the name of Jesus, I decree the crises of your life are ended. In the name of Jesus, I decree your life is upgraded now. And every affliction you are carrying now, in the name of Jesus, I decree drop them now. There is power in your name.
Miracles happen in your name.
Miracles happen in your name.
As we lift the voice to pray.
As we lift the voice to pray.
It's you that I see. It's you that I see. You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest. You are greater, greater than the greatest. You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest. You are greater, greater than the greatest.
Jesus,
Jesus.
When you wake up, tell yourself, my future is fortified by the name of Jesus. My destiny is fortified by the name of Jesus. My relationships are fortified by the name of Jesus. My life is working because of the name of Jesus. Whatsoever you do, do in the name of the Lord. And you will see the level of glory that your life will begin to command. It is at the foundation of the manifestation of wonders. Lift your hands and honor the Lord. Honor the Lord.
As we lift our voice in praise, it's you that I see. It's you that I see.
Precious name. You know, this week somebody will record 3 consecutive supernatural testimonies. One will happen while you are yet thanking God. Another will happen while you are yet thanking God. Another will happen. Because I'm seeing God giving people double testimonies and triple testimonies. Just 1 week. So many supernatural things will happen. You will find these things working in your life with ease. And life will not be a struggle anymore. Somebody will put his weight, his cares, and his burden on Jesus for the first time this week. And you will see how light Jesus will carry it. That thing you call a mountain, you will see how light Jesus will carry it. And can I tell you, God is going to open, hear this, strategic doors and strategic corridors for Christians now. There are most of you that God is bringing into leadership at global level. You have the credentials, you have the passion, you have the viability, but you need a supernatural backing. I bring you that support now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I bring you that supernatural backing now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, ascend the throne of leadership now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. For some of you, strange doors will just open and God will bring you visibility. Listen, these things are not meant for the Western world. It's not only in the West that a young man of 30, 32 can be the CEO of a corporation and he will be controlling things at a global level. From here too, it will start happening. And I prophesy over you, most of you will function at directorate level, CEO level, and you will be pushing things at a global scale. In the name of Jesus, receive that grace now.
Jesus, to you be all. Jesus, whenever I call your name, you make the way. Your name is a strong tower, Jesus.
I don't know, but hear this. God is telling me now, here, even in this dispensation that things look bleak, most of you young people here, you will be brought into strategic positions. Strategic positions. And in the next dispensation, you will not only have a say, but you will be a force. By favor, by wisdom, and by supernatural power, I place you in strategic places of authority. You will have a voice and you will be a force. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The era of mediocrity is over. Not one of you will be undermined. Everywhere you go, lead, rule, and reign. In the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody give the Lord a big clap of praise.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.